up happier than ever? No way. He doesn't get to win.
Whoever is bitten by a werewolf and lives becomes a werewolf himself.
The census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Gina! But I don't care, darling, because I love you.
Why do you eat people?
Not people. Brains. I can feel myself rot.
Sid, don't you blame the movies. Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
Wheel in.
Out with friends?
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
Hello, welcome once again to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of our film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I'm one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the USA, and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
How's it going?
It is going well.
Excellent. And in the state of New York?
Hi, this is Mike.
I'm
fine, Phil. How are you?
Doing really good. Doing all right. And in the state of, I should say, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts?
Hey, is everyone, hey, everyone is safe here.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing okay.
Very good, very good. For folks who are new to the podcast and who've stumbled upon us, who we are Dark Discussions Podcast, which is part of the Dark Discussions News Network, which is www.darkdiscussions.com. On that news network, you can find all sorts of things, such as articles. We have a couple of new ones that just came up, one on Holly Masiak, where she joins us to answer her questions about horror and all the things that she does. She's a podcaster, a artist, and a performer on stage. She does Rocky Horror Picture Show and a bunch of other plays in the Chicago area. And then there's another article called Camera Obscura, which is about, or I should say, is the new column by David Kramer, a Stoker Award-winning author who wrote about food of the gods, H.G. Wells, and Nature Animals Attack Horror. So people should check those two articles out. Also, there's 30 or so different podcasts. And if you're interested in genre news and columns and all that, it's, the website is something you should check every day since it's updated constantly. What else can people find there, Eric?
Well, they can find access to our Patreon account. Patreon allows you to financially contribute to your online artists, such as us. Producing this podcast is not free. We have to spend money on things like movie rentals and movie tickets and equipment and server hosting and audio file hosting and so on and so forth. So if you'd like to help us offset those costs, that's how you can do it. You can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions or follow the link on any page of darkdiscussions.com. For every $5 a month that you care to contribute, you'll have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly do a show on. We take all the submissions from our patrons and draw one at random on a quarterly basis to do show about. So if that's something you're interested in doing, we'd certainly appreciate the contribution. You can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions or follow the link on any page of darkdiscussions.com.
That's right. And you can also email us at darkdiscussions@aol.com or press the contact us link on the website, and it will bring up a form and fill it out, and it'll send it to us as if it was an email. All right, so that's pretty much it, except one other thing is today is April 15th, 2021. One of our listeners, Pam, was always curious when we record because we don't necessarily release the episodes the week after they're recorded. And so she's always curious. And so we now timestamp them for folks. All right. Anything anybody want to bring up, or are we ready to go?
All right. Let's roll.
We're ready to go.
Let's do this.
All right. So, Eric, what are we going to discuss tonight?
Tonight, we're going to be talking about the biggest box office hit of the year so far, still currently in theaters, as well as on HBO Max, Godzilla versus Kong.
Let's get ready to crumble!
Blink, blink.
This is our only chance. We have to take it. We need Kong. The world needs him. To stop what's coming. And this child. She's the only one he'll communicate with.
I knew that they had a bond. She had nowhere to go, so I made a promise to protect her. And I think that in some way, Kong did the same.
Godzilla vs. Kong is a new film by, I guess, Warner Brothers. It's directed by Adam Wingard, most likely or most well known for his collaborations with Simon Barrett, the screenwriter, though in this case he is doing a film by a screenplay from two other folks instead of Barrett, Eric Pearson and Max Borenstein. Wingard is probably best known for such films as Your Next and A Horrible Way to Die. Also, the film stars a number of folk of note, Alexander Skarsgård from True Blood, among many other films. Also, Rebecca Hall, Millie Bobby Brown, Aiza Gonzalez, who is probably best known for, at least in the United States, for Baby Driver. A bunch of other folk in small roles, but that's pretty much who I have listed here. So I guess we can get into what we thought about this film and how we heard about it and all that other good stuff. So let's start with you, Abe.
So it's kind of hard not to hear about this film, considering that it's involved in two of the biggest monsters in cinematic history. It's part of the ongoing MonsterVerse franchise. And, you know, it's been advertised like crazy, especially since it was not just going to be shown in theaters, but also on HBO Max. I saw this in theaters not too long ago, and I really enjoyed it. I you know, I always enjoy a good kaiju movie. And, you know, before it was advertising, it delivered. There were some really awesome battles. Creature effects. I was actually really pleased, too, that they mixed it up between the night battles and day-like battles, because one of the things that a lot of MonsterVerse films had that was kind of an issue was that sometimes certain battles between the creatures or certain scenes where the creatures are just being shown was obscured too much by, rain, darkness, and stuff like that, so you couldn't really see what was going on. But this had a few of them that kind of really showcased the creatures in some good detail. The performances were overall pretty good. I did have some issues with certain characters who kind of didn't feel like they had to be there, or their roles were just, you know, didn't feel as that overall necessary to what was, you know, going on. And there were some characters I felt that were kind of, you know, underused. That being said, there was some really good character moments as well. But if you're looking to see a giant radioactive lizard punching a monkey, and a monkey in turn punching that radioactive lizard, you're going to get what you paid your money for. It's fun. It's a fun movie, and that's why I had a lot of fun with it. I'm just really glad this film's doing so well despite the current climate for films and cinema. Putting on HBO Max was a smart move, and there's more things I want to say, but I'm going to wait till we can get into the spoiler territory before I do so.
All right, very good. For me, pretty much the same as Abe. You know, I mean, everybody's pretty much heard about the film that follows films, so I knew about it that way. It's getting fairly decent reviews, and though there's some fans that are complaining that it's more of just a one kaiju monster film, and the other one is just a side creature, and that didn't really bother me. I wasn't a big fan of the film. I think it's weaker than Kong Skull Island or Rampage, which I think were my two favorite kaiju type films in the past 10 years or so. I have to agree with Abe. There's some of the human characters, specifically the ones that come from the prior film. That whole story I didn't think was needed. The villainous company is just another same old. The Aiza Gonzalez character, I don't even know why they had her there. The whole story about the Hollow Earth and stuff, I think it's honestly time to reboot the series. To be honest, I think the original idea of where the monsters from their original films, King Kong from 1930, whatever, and Godzilla from 1950, whatever, are better storylines. And I wish they had just gone with those type of storylines rather than now making it into these silly things. Again, a lot of the Godzilla films have silly stories anyway. For me, these new modern take doesn't necessarily work. There is one really cool, battle scene between three monsters, which is good. So that was a high point of the film. But all in all, I feel it was a forgettable film, and I probably won't revisit it. Let's go with you, Mike.
Yeah, I first heard about this film listening to What We're Looking Forward To podcast of Dark Discussions, where a couple of the hosts mentioned that they were looking forward to this movie coming out in 2020. But that never happened. This is weird. This is a very weird film for me because it's like two separate movies put together.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
It's like a 7-course meal, and courses 6 and 7 and 2 are really good, but the others are dog shit, but you can't get to the good ones unless you sit through the dog shit first. This is... I've liked the MonsterVerse films to one degree or another, mostly for the monster stuff. Kong Skull Island, I think, is still the best out of the four, which is the place where the whole Hollow Earth thing comes from. It's the one that had the best balance of creatures and creature action and some actual human characters with actual growth. The King of the Monsters and the Godzilla 2014, there are issues with the human stories, but the humans had stories. You know, here are the five characters, six human characters, whatever they are, I haven't counted them. If you plot where they are at the beginning of the film and where they are at the end of the film, they have changed locations.
But no real growth, no.
There is no growth. I don't think I've ever seen a film where there was literally zero growth on the part of any of the characters at all. And that's bizarre. And by the way, I would also say the same goes for the... I didn't ask you, Alexa. I would also say the same goes for the kaiju. Like, it's not like Godzilla learned a lesson today. You know, I just don't even then see a thing. But the kaiju battles, I think, are fantastic.
Yeah.
They're very well staged, beautifully staged, you know, and they kind of vary it up. They frame it sort of as being three rounds between Kong and Godzilla. But unfortunately, the last two rounds, and I guess round three is really, really short. Round two happens about 30 seconds before round three. And then there's a final battle that happens right after that. So those last three battles really are just a massive battle in three parts in the same location. And I kind of would have liked to see that broken up a bit. But we're going to go through, and I'm sure going to have fun with picking this apart. And praising other parts of it as it goes along.
All right, very good. I do like your seven-course meal point, though, Mike. That was excellent, in my opinion. Eric?
Yeah, I'm going to echo a lot of what's already been said. Great monster fights. The monster fights are fantastic. Unfortunately, the rest of the movie is dog shit. The human characters are two-dimensional. The dialogue is bad. The science fiction is bullshit. And the comic relief isn't funny. So all the human parts of this movie are just awful. That being said, the monster parts of the movie are very, very good. There's some great monster fighting action in this movie. And plus, I was pleasantly surprised that they actually managed to keep something about this movie secret. So I actually got surprised by something towards the end of the movie. So I give them kudos for that.
The one character turned out to be bad?
No.
Oh.
So I think there's a really good 30 to 45 minute cut of this movie with monsters fighting. The rest is garbage. Unfortunately, the movie's about 2 hours long. So that's a problem. Monster's good, human's bad. So if you can put up with it to get to the monsters, check it out.
It's, you know, it's the whole setup. You know, I'm not going to get into any spoiler thing, but I'm going to say that the whole setup for this entire story is a very thin stretched and very contrived setup to just get Godzilla and Kong to fight each other.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it isn't. But it does stretches the movie out to such a, you know, a long thing that we get a lot of boring human character moments that do anything.
Well, we're going to get into all that momentarily. But before we do, Eric, do we have a wiki?
Wiki. The epic next chapter in cinematic MonsterVerse pits two of the greatest icons in motion picture history against one another, the fearsome Godzilla and the mighty Kong, with humanity caught in the balance.
I would agree with the iconic characters. Both of those characters are iconic. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Or did you say legendary?
So, yeah, but that's boom. Fair too, which is Legendary Pictures made it. That's right. So, yeah, that's for fair IMDb, I guess, yeah. I do know some people were dissecting each frame of the trailer when it came out. I know PJ...
Those people are called nerds, Phil.
Yeah, yes, that's true. You know what? I don't dislike that word anymore because I found out it was created by Dr. Seuss and Dr. Seuss rules, so nerd is an okay word. Dork, I don't like that one. No, that's a terrible.
Okay, so we're nerds in your...
But anyway.
Yes.
Oh, well played, Dirk. Well played. On a side note, that was a decent IMDb, I think. But either way, PJ Rahill of The Dorkening, one of those podcasts, I forget which one he does in that network of podcasts, he actually did a 30-minute episode with his wife on the trailer, and he saw and told everybody, believe it or not, who listened to that podcast, the surprise that Eric mentioned during his review. But I
hope you was nice enough to put a spoiler warning in there.
I don't know. I forget. It was whenever the trailer came out, like 2 months ago or something, 3 months ago. But either way, we'll get into all that. I was still spoiled, even though I knew about it, because I forgot all about it.
I was going to say, I knew about it, but the reason I knew about it was because I deduced it from the trailer, but I deduced it completely wrong. But since I knew it was coming wrongly, I didn't bother avoiding the spoilers about it being there. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that's fair.
No, you should probably wait till we're after the spoiler flag.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Okay.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. That's true. Yeah, yeah, I would agree with you on that, Eric. Before we throw up the spoiler alert, and the reason we are throwing up the spoiler alert is because we dissect and critique, not just review, on the Dark Discussions podcast. So we'll get into all that before. But before we do throw up the spoiler, we can talk about general things and such. So, you know, music, special effects, just the iconic characters themselves, or as Abe was talking about, the humans. I feel that Skarsgård, it's weird because they get these actors like Chandler and Skarsgård who are fairly good actors and if not A-list, is pretty close. They always underuse them. And then and another example would be Azia Gonzalez. She's a pretty big actress, especially in Mexico. I've followed her ever since Baby Driver. So you know, you're looking forward to that, you know, and they're not used correctly. And then the prior movie, the girl from Stranger Things, among the characters Bobby that Brown. Hang around her. Yeah, that's exactly right. Her, yep. Those characters weren't even necessary. And so I don't even know why they had that.
Right.
That's like 30 minutes of the film they could have just cut out and no one would have noticed. So it's just bizarre. And then, of course, as you mentioned, Eric, the science made me say, okay, it's time to reboot. But, you know, maybe I'm being harsh, but I don't know.
No, you're not.
Okay.
It was bad.
Oh, the science is awful, but there is a long history of awful science in Godzilla films.
That's true, but this sets a new mark.
So I am not overly...
Yeah, it sets a new mark.
I'm not going to be overly critical about that.
I will.
And you can be. That's fine. And it's ridiculous. It's eye-rolling. I think it's I don't have a problem necessarily with the whole Hollow Earth thing. It's been established, and they're just trying to find a way to say, okay, here's where the monsters come from. All right. And they kind of gave us a world if we want to explore that. That's fine. I kind of get annoyed. Are we going to criticize the movie we got? And there's plenty of criticisms we can put out there. Or are we going to criticize the movie we didn't get? So King of the Monsters, they do this, the end credit stuff where they have like photographs and headlines and things. And wasn't like one of the headlines monsters or titans gathering at Skull Island or moving towards Skull Island? they were like setting up storylines that were never paid off. There's this, it feels to me like there's this whole missing movie. The opening credits for this movie this NCAA bracket challenge with Kong and Godzilla beating in the middle. Great idea, right? Because you got Godzilla has like, you know, defeats the Mutos and Rodan and Mothra and Ghidorah and you know, and there he is. And Kong beats a Skullcrawler. Yeah. And there's all these other things. And he hasn't beaten anything else. It's, I kind of would have liked to see the story, and then we pick it up, and a thing has happened with Kong that is significant and important.
And they just kind of throw it on the ground and walk away.
They throw it on the ground, and in fact, they ADR the explanation, meaning they later on in the film. So I have a feeling there was more to that story that they just said, fuck it, let's get to the Kong stuff, because the human stuff isn't working. And they cut out as much of the human stuff as they felt they could.
Mike, I like your point, Mike, about there's a missing movie, because if they had done, all right, we all know, you know, the James Mason's film from years ago about the journey to the center of the Earth and all that, and that was a good film, fun film. But that film focused on it, and here they're focusing on the Kaijus, and then they just suddenly bring up the Hollow Earth. And the Hollow Earth itself, with the pterodactyls and all that, and the monsters that are there, are a movie in itself. So if they had a movie between the Godzilla and Kong films that they've had out in the past, and this film that was just about people heading to the center of the Earth, then when they introduce it here in this film, I feel it wouldn't be as bad. But to have that, I mean, to be honest, at this point, the center of the Earth and the hollowness of the Earth, plus all those weird creatures down there and the medical things you can get from all the new plants and animals that are down there, you would think that would be the highlight of any film, even when, because we already know Kong and Godzilla exist in this universe, so it's not a big deal to humans that they exist, because everybody knows they exist, but no one knows about the Hollow Earth, and that's like almost secondary, even though it's the main plot of the film, and it's really bizarre.
It's, you know, it feels like there's three movies, in fact. There are three movies here. We have, you know, the fight between Kong and Godzilla, we have the Hollow Earth, and then we have the third one about, you know, Apex. You know, each of those could have been its own film in a sense. And we're trying to squeeze them all in into this short amount of time into some contrived connection. I mean, because a lot of the other human characters don't even meet each other. You know, they're all on their own trajectory path to do one thing or another.
Well, and also, for me, one of the big issues of the film is that they spend a lot of time explaining things that don't make sense and then don't explain things that you really want to know about. So that was one of my major issues with the whole movie, is they take a whole bunch of dialogue explaining all this bullshit that I don't care. It doesn't even make sense. And then there's like questions I have about things that they barely even touched on. And that's a problem for me.
The
Kong temple and the Kong.
Right, all that stuff. Yep.
It's like, who created all that? Are they aliens? Is it? we don't know. You know, it's Greys. I don't know.
Should we just throw up the spoiler flag? Because
yeah, we'll have to in order to get. To
why talk meat. Around this stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Spoiler flag away. Okay, so I don't necessarily have a problem with the Hollow Earth thing itself, or even with it being in this film, if it was utilized in a way that made sense. It certainly gave some great visuals. And it is a thing that was established in Kong and was used in King of the Monsters. I don't understand, because like, didn't they prove the whole, like, the world seems to know about Kong, you know, and do they not know about the Hollow Earth all of a sudden? We start with Skarsgård's scientist being this disgraced guy in a lovely office basement.
Very nice, in fact.
That he's been banished to. I'm like, This is how you do an office. It's just like, I have never seen a college professor with a basement that large. Not a basement, an office that large. You know, it's this beautiful basement that he's been banished. And, you know, he couldn't sell his books and about the Holocaust. What theory was he being laughed at? Because the audience knows the Hollow Earth was a thing. The Earth, and suddenly the world's like, well, yeah, okay, it's only been, you know, 10 years since the giant monsters first appeared, but Hollow Earth, we just can't go that far. A whole expedition died trying to get there, but no, there can't be anything to that. Dr. Sarazawa and the Monarch team teleported halfway across the Earth through underground tunnels, but no, there can't be a Hollow Earth. It's like, what?
And there's a whole bunch of things in this movie that don't make sense. One of them being that at the beginning of the movie, we're shown that Kong has been put inside a holographic dome.
Yes.
Of some sort on Skull Island.
Basically, to explain, Skull Island has been, over the years, been ravaged by storms. Its inhabitants killed, and they somehow built this fake world around Kong and they keep it in there to observe him.
Well, here's the thing, though. By the whole theory of this universe, I guess, Titans are naturally attracted to each other to fight so that there's one standing, right? So their whole thing is that they're protecting Kong because if they remove Kong from this dome, Godzilla is going to come after him. How the fuck is this dome keeping Godzilla away from Kong? That doesn't make any sense.
No. And here's another issue. So the rule is basically, to explain to the listeners, Godzilla is the apex of the alpha of all the Titans.
You're goddamn right he is.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is that he keeps all the other kaiju in control. He tells them where to do, what to, you know, keeps them under control. And the rule is there cannot be two alphas. And Kong, who doesn't bow to Godzilla, is been on his island for God knows how many years, probably even before the dome had been put up. Why the fuck has Godzilla not ever gone to Skull Island and conquered it?
Right, I guess that's the question. And I guess the dome is just kind of a feature along the way.
It's like, because there's a little thing I read that basically when in King of the Monsters, when Ghidorah was calling after Godzilla got injured in the film, Ghidorah starts controlling all the other Titans and getting to do what he wants. Kong, in the novelization, they explain that Kong ignored that call. So what the fuck was going on in that point between those years? Was Godzilla doing when he was ruling the Titans? Did he not go to Skull Island? Another thing too is that Godzilla's
his breath
has been turned into a fucking laser beam drill, so fucking powerful it literally goes all the way to the Hollow Earth.
Right.
And there's several points in the film where this fucking power had hit Ghidorah, the space dragon, dead in the chest, and didn't burrow through. They never explained the weird disparity of his power. Another thing...
He's a space dragon, come on.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's just that it's just kind of brings up so many questions. And another thing is that, bringing back to the alpha part, where the fuck are the rest of the Titans?
Well, that's another part of it.
Them all in the last movie?
What?
Didn't Godzilla win in the last movie?
He won, but he controlled them. Basically, there was a little point in the newspaper where he was getting the kaiju to do certain things around the world to try to protect it.
Okay.
But now they're nowhere in sight. If he was the Alpha Titan and he was upset about Apex doing his shady shit, why wasn't he ordering them to start attacking these Apex places as well?
Because he can handle it himself.
It still doesn't make sense.
Right there.
You're right.
Where have all the
movie about the
gone?
Radioactive lizard monster and a giant monkey does not make sense. You are correct.
I'm saying in terms of world building and
even within the world they made, right? All the kind, and then we just so like they made a world, And in the first film, they destroyed San Francisco, Las Vegas, and was it Okinawa?
Yeah.
Okay. And in this film, and in the second film, they destroyed Boston, thank God, but Mexico City, you know, there were like a dozen cities that got destroyed in that film. And this is 3 years later, and the whole world just like, oh, we're back to normal. It's fine. It's just a weird thing. So it's like they have kind of, which, by the way, there is a giant reset button at the end of just about every Godzilla film. So I'm not really taking it to task too much. It is a part of the thing, because if the damage we see in every film had consequences, then, yeah, the world would be flattened in, you know, a couple of movies. But still, you did introduce all these monsters. Where are they?
Well, the old Godzilla films, there was different eras, and they rebooted, you know, when they hit those new eras.
Yeah, and, no, I'm talking basically from Godzilla King of the Monsters up through, yeah, what was it, like Terror of Mechagodzilla maybe was the last one?
Yeah, there was the Showa era, the Heisei era, the Millennium era.
Right, but with these films here, they're trying to make a universe, so you know, based off of how Marvel has made a universe and how DC, I guess, is trying to make a universe and how Star Wars has made a universe, you figure they want to follow the rules they create. And I think that's what Mike's talking about, Eric, is that, you know, obviously there's no such thing as a giant lizard or a giant monkey, but the rules they create, they break in each movie anyway. And it's like, why even create a universe if you're just going to break all the rules?
Yeah, apparently all those extra Titans were very last-minute additions to the last film, which is why you never got good looks at them, and then ended up being featured in all the trailers for them and the commercials for them. And they kind of, and as great as a lot of the monster action was in that film for me, you know, we got a lot of Godzilla and Ghidorah and Rodan and some Mothra. We didn't get all the other, like Scylla and Behemoth and so forth. I was kind of looking forward to seeing more of them at some point, which I think it would have been interesting if there had been a Kong film in between these,
right,
where Kong shows himself to be an alpha. Why is Kong an alpha? Because he's grown up isolated on an island somewhere that's been destroyed, and now he's lonely and in a dome. How does he qualify as an alpha exactly?
Well, and not only that, but my whole confusion is kind of what Abe was talking about earlier. Why is Skull Island safe? Why has Godzilla never come after him before? But as soon as he leaves that damn island, he comes like an arrow.
Right. And I'd be perfectly willing for them to be to provide some bullshit pseudoscience explanation, which, by the way, would be, no matter how bullshit pseudoscience it would be far less bullshit pseudoscience than the Hollow Earth in gravity inverse thing that they did.
Yeah.
Right.
That would explain why Kong is shielded from Godzilla, right? And why Godzilla never came to town at that island or whatever. But they do mention, it's in the credits, but it's a thing. They throw it up there, which is where they put the teasers for the next movie, right? Yep. That the monsters are heading towards Skull Island.
Skull Island, right.
And apparently they realized they forgot their passports. And couldn't get on. And I guess
With COVID, they have to stay away from each other.
Right.
Yeah. Social distancing in kaiju world.
And they do
see a kaiju movie where they're all wearing masks.
Go ahead. I was gonna say, and I like Skull Island. No matter what Skull Island version you're talking about, but in this particular Skull Island, they put so much work into creating that world, the Iwi culture.
That was a good movie. That was a good movie.
And they just like, nap.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not only going to ignore it for this movie. We're going to wipe it from existence.
Yeah, the only carryovers they have that actually survive are the Skullcrawlers. And they're used as cannon fodder for the main villain of the film, which is, spoiler, Mechagodzilla.
Right, right.
That was a nice surprise.
It was a nice surprise. It was actually a really cool surprise, and it also helped kind of bury the little teaser at the end of King of the Monsters, where they got the head of Ghidorah that was thrown in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Although that whole part was also bullshit.
That was, right. And that is a holdover from the last film with Charles Dance, also sadly not to be seen. Of all the characters I wanted to see come back for this movie.
Now, you know, one thing I really enjoyed about this film was that they did not put any kind of tears at the end. Because every fucking time they do that, they have to try, they kind of twist the arm of anyone who carries on the saga and trying to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. So this
You know what it is? It's like when Planet of the Apes reboot, they had those teases, but it was like they already planned, you know, all the other films. So it was good to have the teases because it was actually a snapshot of what we're going to see in the next film.
If you've already written the next movie, then fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it could be a problem.
But this...
I was just going to say that one of my big problems with the movie was that whole Ghidorah head, because it makes no goddamn sense. Why are they trying to use the head of a dead monster to establish a psionic connection between a robot monster and a human? What, do they just have somebody sitting in the goddamn thing's head with a joystick?
Right, right. Like they did in that Del Toro film.
It's a contrived, you know, more pseudoscience bullshit. And, you know, as I said, it twists the arm of any director to try to answer, you know, what the fuck happened to that subplot. Now, thankfully, once it's answered, now we can have a clean slate in terms of, like, having it be more open-ended what we do with the other films. Because, and that's another issue, too, the MonsterVerse has had four directors at each fucking movie.
Right.
You know, one director for every time, and they had to change it up. And so that director had to try to play the rules and change things around, or they add something.
That's the problem. Is the director of the modern era has way too much power than 20 years ago, and that's not a bad thing, Mike. I know what you're going to say, but when you have a franchise, the producers should be the bosses, not the directors. If it wasn't a franchise, it's just a standalone film, or it's the director or the screenwriter's creation, that's fine. They should have the power. But when it's a franchise like Marvel or Star Wars or this, I think the producers should be the bosses and not the directors. And Abe's point, which is, each one of them is doing what they want things and stuff. We know that's true, but it makes sense, Abe, because they do all feel a little off.
It's too many chefs in the kitchen, pretty much. Everyone has this main dish here, and everyone's throwing different recipes and mixing things up, and it becomes, you know, congealed and messed up and everything like that. And so the flavor and the taste of the thing is completely inconsistent with the original recipe could have been.
Because, Abe, you know, like television shows like Game of Thrones, they had all these great directors, but all those directors still knew the producer's show, and they follow. You know, they didn't screw up things. If there was a screw up, it was the producers that screwed it up, not the directors.
Right.
And so I think that's how it should be with these universes. Eric, you're gonna say something?
Well, I was just gonna say I understand the point that's being made here, but I think perhaps the bigger mistake is trying to have a universe around this. Godzilla has been around in some form or another since 1954.
Yeah,
and it's like, hey, there's Godzilla. There's another monster. They're gonna fight. They fought. Nobody really won. There's the army guys. Oh, they fought again, and Godzilla won.
Right.
And that just happens movie after movie after movie. That's fine. And if you're gonna make a universe, then I agree with the point that you're making. But I don't necessarily think that a universe is the best play for this.
In this case, a universe is a series, right? Godzilla, I guess, did have a shared universe.
Common rules, yeah.
Right, because Mothra had its own film, and technically a lot of the random monsters in Destroy All Monsters had been in other movies. Oh, and Rodan had his own film. So, yeah, that was a shared universe. But by and large, Godzilla worked as a film series.
Yeah.
With some guest stars in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of where Kong's role is here. This is not a MonsterVerse. This is a new Godzilla universe that Kong has had a guest starring role in for this episode. And you don't
actually, he was the lead, I would think. In this,
that's one. True.
This is more Kong centric.
That is
anything.
Absolutely true. It's.
I don't have a problem with that, Mike. I don't have a problem with a different Keiju as the lead for each different film, because it doesn't have to be a Godzilla franchise. But if the Keiju franchise should stick with, you know, a universe that actually works. But go on, Mike.
Well, I think part of the problem is that they don't own the rights to Godzilla, and they built the Godzilla universe. So they have Godzilla on loan from Toho for 3 films. And now they have to go back to the negotiating table. It wouldn't shock me if they come to a new agreement, because if this film ends up being financially successful, it seems like it's going to be, they have a lot of incentive to continue. And then maybe they can also get the licensed rights to maybe some of the less well-known kaiju, Anguirus and so
King Anguirus, Baron, Baragon.
And as stupid as the Hollow Earth was executed here, it does give you a new world to explore if you want to go there. So that opens up a lot of possibilities. There are the Titans that they already introduced. That would be nice to see some of them. I don't know that there's an appetite for a whole big branching series like the Marvel films, where you could get, you know, 3 movies a year out of this. A movie every couple of years with new monsters, I think that would be fine. I'm not sure how much this is the case of the director, because Wingard, I don't know how much he wrote this, because he isn't given a writing credit. Doesn't mean he didn't have a hand in writing it. Writing credits are really freaking
weird.
Well,
he usually doesn't write. It's Simon Barrett that writes all of his films. Right. So he's not really a screenwriter anyway.
But did he write this?
No, he did not. It was two other guys. It was it wasn't Barrett.
Yeah, and I did look, and one of them is a writer.
And Max Barenstein.
And Max Barenstein was in at least one or two of the other films. So
right.
And I know, and this was something, unlike, you had Godzilla 2014, then Kong Skull Island was, I think, 2017, and then 2019,
Kong Skull Island, yeah, right,
was King of the Monsters was 2019. This was coming out 2020, so this was filming on the back of King of the Monsters. This was already planned, so I think there was some communication, which is why it's so weird. Actually, I do know for a fact that there was some communication between Michael Dougherty and Adam Wingard, which is why I find it so weird that it just, the pieces don't really quite mesh together well.
Mm. There's also weird carryover, you know, this also kind of extends to certain characters. For example, we actually have the son of one of the recurring characters who has died in the previous film. Ren Sarazawa, who plays an antagonist, and they do absolutely nothing, despite the fact that he has his connection to such an important character from the previous films.
Well, I have a feeling. Do you guys know who Lance Reddick is?
No.
No.
He's one of the people in the movie. I know that, but
yes, one of the people in the movie. He's an actor. He played like the boss in Fringe.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's a tall, thin black actor.
Yeah.
I didn't know his name.
Yeah, I actually I pointed that out to Dan when we were watching the movie, because he's he plays the police chief in Bosch.
Okay, he's also the boss in The Wire. Is the lieutenant and gets promoted up the chain. Excellent actor. I wouldn't say he's a big name, but he's a significant character actor. He has a
recognizable presence.
Yes, he is. He is seventh billed in this film.
Seventh.
He is on film. I think 3 seconds with one line.
Yeah, he shouldn't even been billed then. Or,
well,
or
no, I think what happened is, my guess is that this film got hatchet jobbed to death. Whatever the stories were, a lot of stuff fell by the wayside. Right.
Well, and you know why the final fight was in Hong Kong?
So they could sell in Japan and China?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that was another problem I had with this movie is that there's a lot of just like there's things that if you stop and think about them for the briefest of seconds don't make any goddamn sense whatsoever. And like this is one of them. Apparently, Apex built a secret magical subway tunnel from Pensacola, Florida to Hong Kong without anybody noticing.
I know.
What the fuck?
Well, let me ask you a question. The Russell family.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why? Wasn't it a massive coincidence that they just so happened to be living in Pensacola? Where Godzilla would attack?
Right.
And and the reason I know that they're living in Pensacola is because we see Millie Bobby Brown, like, kind of living her life there. And she has a friend
Getting on her bicycle or whatever.
Yeah, right. And you know, and by the and I don't know anything. Is there a Chinatown in Pensacola? I have no idea.
I've been to Pensacola a number of times, but there could be. But
maybe you know what? All the Chinatown refugees from San Francisco all moved to Pensacola after Godzilla destroyed San Francisco.
Wow.
Well, I can honestly try to find out if there is a Chinatown. But, yeah, I mean.
A Chinatown is not the only reason there are people of Asian descent in different locations.
Well, no, because she said, right, that she says it in the film.
Yeah, she says it in the film.
That's how she finds Bernie, right, is that Bernie mentions Chinatown in Bleach, and that she puts it together.
I'll tell you this, Mike. I don't believe there is. And that's a lie. And I think it was to make a marketing thing to China.
Well, I think the blowing up of Hong Kong was the marketing thing to China.
Well, that's true. Then why would they even have Chinatown in Pensacola? Pensacola is a city like, you know, the size of maybe Albany, right?
Because they're running out of all the good cities to blow up. They've already blown
No,
up.
No. I have no problems with using Pensacola. Pensacola has military bases, you know, naval base and all that stuff. So it's a legitimate city, even if it's not a huge city. But why would they reference a Chinatown when a Chinatown does not exist in Pensacola? It just doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, that's a fair point, Mike.
But then you have the Shirazawa thing. Where the guy's father died in the last film. He's controlling the thing that's going to kill Godzilla that his father died to save. There is no story arc there. There's no attempt at character development. The guy, if they didn't mention his... If you were a normal film goer...
They could have just made a random guy.
Yeah, they could have. Right. If you're you would never have put... You know, we're nerds and a dork, and we...
F you.
And we recognize Shirazawa. And we pick up the name Shirazawa and go, oh, okay, that was the scientist from the last two movies. And you know, a normal person with a healthy life is not going to make that connection, right? Right. Doesn't make any sense. So I think he probably had a bunch of stuff cut away. Even I talked about like the overdubbing of generic footage while you give exposition a lot of times. So you don't see the person's face who's delivering it. That often reeks of stuff we had to record later.
That's
great example of this is the first Men in Black film where the story changed completely. And part of the reason way they could get away with it is so much of the plot was driven by aliens talking to each other in subtitles. So they could go back and just change the subtitles. So similar. And so I think like the whole explanation of the Hollow Earth, a lot of it is happening overdubbed on a little holographic map, and I'm wondering if that stuff that was sort of changed in between. There's this weird thing where they go through a Stargate, and I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, whatever the point that was.
Because notice they didn't need it. Like God said, so they and I saw people hypothesize that, and I don't think it's an interesting hypothesis. Was that in fact the Hollow Earth? Right, you had the Stargate. The Hollow Earth is actually like another dimension. It's another reality, so it's not really a hollow earth.
It would make more sense than there actually being a hollow fucking earth.
It would, except for the fact that you had Godzilla now apparently punched a hole into another dimension, which is serious Chuck Norris-level shit.
Yeah. I mean...
Right. I like the hollow I like the Hollow Earth, but I like it in Journey to the Center of the Earth. I don't like it mixed in with this film here. Abe, you gonna say something?
Yeah, it's also kind of makes it kind of, the whole dimension thing feel pointless, because now Godzilla has punched a hole into this quote unquote dimension, and now all the characters in Kong can just crawl right up to the surface now. Like there's there's no barrier, nothing.
Yeah, there was pterodactyls. Pterodactyls down there.
That could be wild. Well, just all those flying creatures flying to the surface and shit like that. There was sunlight.
And speaking, yeah, there was a sun down there. One of my questions that, like, again, unless I really missed something, this was not explained in any way, shape, or form. First of all, Kong starts floating. I don't think it was explicitly stated in the movie, but am I supposed to understand that he was right in the center of the Earth, and so the gravity cancels itself out there?
No.
No.
It's monkey magic.
I mean, that's all I could think of.
I think what it is like the Hollow Earth, right? Because it's weird. They don't explain it well. It reeked of bullshit when they talk. So it's a gravity inversion. You'll have the gravitational force of an entire planet coming down on you. It's like, really? Gravity is very, very weak. You overcome the Earth's gravitational force every time you step up on a ladder. it's a gravitational inversion. Okay, fine. That somehow crushes you. It's like, so I think what happened is that you have a, and if you look at the hologram, by the way, I want to point out, I've seen the movie three times now, twice in theaters and once on HBO Max. Because I've got the A-list plan.
Who's the dork?
You. Eric already said, and Eric is always right. So
I'm glad there's like a ball.
So basically, figure there's a ball in the middle of the Earth, and the Hollow Earth part of it is on top of the ball, and then you got like the surrounding layer of the upper Earth, whatever. And then there's another Earth on top of that, and for some reason there's a gravity inversion in between the two. So as you bounce between the lower layer and the upper layer, gravity flips. And that is what it is. It's weird. It doesn't
right.
make
that would
no
be,
sense
that
at
would
all.
Be fine.
Okay, so part two
that
of my
would
question.
Be fine if this was a movie about the center of the Earth, but
it doesn't matter. It's bullshit. So part two of my question is: did they tell us? And I just missed it. And I actually watched this movie a second time. Did they explain what the fucking blue glowy rocks are?
Yes, it is blue glowy stuff. It is the energy that powers the kaiju. And because they analyzed it and sent an email.
Are those floaty rocks the same shit that's in the axe?
No, that axe is a Godzilla spine.
Wait, what?
Yes.
The axe is a Godzilla spine?
Yes. That's why it can absorb Godzilla's heat ray, because it is actually the same material.
Huh. It's his fin, a fin of one of his kind.
Why couldn't they just make the kaiju monsters that were created from pollution and nuclear?
No. Hang on, still. We don't have time for alternate theories here. I need to understand this shit.
Okay, sorry.
Stop being a dork, Phil.
How do you know that that's a Godzilla spine?
Because it's literally the same shit. The same is actually taken from, I think,
But do they say it in the film? Is what Eric's saying.
They don't say it in the film, but all the internet nerds who looked at the axe when they first saw it. If you see the stills, it's a spine. When you look at it when they're in the throne room.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and the axe just decides to start glowing for no particular reason whatsoever.
Yeah, that was suspicious.
Where did the throne room come from?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
They raised it.
And that works for me. If that works for you, and then he puts the axe down in the ground because he knows
that doesn't make sense.
Because he knows how to do that, and there's a ring of light that goes around his throne.
Yeah, what is it?
It's a ring of light that goes around his throat. And if you actually look at the ring of light, it's kind of in the shape of
a Godzilla skeleton.
Of a Godzilla. Right. It is. Now here's my problem. This is a really convoluted way to do this. To me, I mean, it's bad enough they had to cheat.
So what are the blue floating rocks? What are
they? Monkey magic!
See, the rocks, I think, are just caught in that gravity inversion, right? The null spot between the top layer and the bottom layer of the hollow earth.
This whole bullshit.
But why they're glowy blue, I have no idea. It is the source of the energy that they need to power Mechagodzilla. And because they found the stuff, they analyzed this brand new substance no one's ever seen before in about 30 seconds and sent an email explaining it to them in Apex. They were able to punch the buttons, and suddenly Mechagodzilla gets all that energy.
I want to argue the most important point here, which is it's cyan, not blue.
What the fuck ever?
And, dork. And I want to also point out, they have these little heave vehicles that they wanted to make sure we knew that that's what they were. They are heave vehicles.
Oh, yeah, that made me want to heave.
That they explained that more times than they explained the gravity inversion.
Well, and apparently they can also be used to defibrillate giant fucking apes.
Apes, because they can light up Las Vegas. God, there's enough to power those little vehicles. God, they said have enough energy to power Las Vegas in a week. How many of those little figures could you, those little vehicles could you power, could you put into the Mechagodzilla to power it?
I know. It's crazy. I think as Eric mentioned beforehand, somehow just by scanning it, they were able to somehow instant message this power to the Apex lab. To make it into an actual pure source for the mech.
Well, they use the same technology that they use to make the secret world-spanning magnetic levitation subway.
Yes, that nobody knows about. Because right. They're
somehow.
Because they're an evil corporation with a sinister plan to save the world.
Going back to this fucking organization, Apex and everything like that. Honestly,
now it's a Mexican company, right? Because the head, the actor, is Mexican, and his daughter Eliza Aiza Gonzalez is a Mexican actress as well.
And his name is Simmons.
That's right.
Well, here's the thing, honestly.
What? I don't understand it then. Yeah.
Now, honestly, if you really had to have this whole fucking thing of Apex and the fucking Hollow Earth, I would have think the film might be stronger by focusing from the point of view of the villains on one side of the story, and instead of Simmons being in control, make it Sarazawa in control. So you can understand his motivation for why the fuck he wants to do this shit in the first fucking place, because it feels kind of counterproductive. And because you could have named him Bob or anything. You could have named him anything else because he really doesn't do anything.
Right.
And you know, could have understand why he was coming through it, see what goes on, you know what drives him. And then instead of having this whole the Russells involved again and having this weird subplot with these kids and this conspiracy theorists go all the way to fucking Hong Kong just to pour alcohol on a control panel, you could have just had Mechagodzilla go haywire, kill everyone in Apex, and then run amok. You didn't have to have this whole subplot of these conspiracy theorists going all the way over there. You could have just had that point of view of the villains alongside the expedition and the Kong people.
And I want to point out,
everybody's agreeing that the conspiracy theorist whole plot shouldn't even have been in there. It was almost like they just wanted to bring in the Stranger Things girl for this film, and that was the only way they could do it.
Well, they signed her up when they assigned her for two parts, right? They signed her for both films.
They probably should have just used her then, or used her like they did with them.
They did use her, they just didn't use her well. That's the problem.
No, but her role is insignificant as her father's role was in this film. So it's like, well, why even have either of them in there? Just giving them.
Well, again, I think a lot of stuff got cut out. But even so, you look at her story, their whole storyline really was just the way for the audience to discover Mechagodzilla.
Yeah. And pour alcohol.
Were you talking about sorry, I had to step away for a second there. Were you talking about Millie Bobby Brown and Kyle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie,
she's supposed to be the character that high schoolers and children are supposed to follow. Maybe that's why they kept
maybe
her.
Maybe she's the cool kid. Yeah.
No, but when I was watching this movie with Dan at the end of the movie, when those two are reunited, Dan just turned to me and said, "That was not earned in any way, shape, or form."
Oh, but he told her to go home earlier in the film. I just want to remind everybody that this girl's mother was responsible for the murder of several million people. She's like Hitler's daughter, and nobody seems to like care about that. Nobody like, I mean, yet like one mention of it in the film.
Yeah, and you would think she would have some animosity from certain people because of the catastrophe, you know. But everyone almost when they bring up her mother, almost like they're talking about Harry Potter's parents or some shit, you know.
Oh my god!
Right.
Yeah, and.
Right.
Yeah, there would be some social ostracization or something. Her arc, there is no arc for her character. She has learned nothing. She learns nothing through the film. I wonder.
She learns that the way to save the world is to pour a small amount of alcohol.
No, that's her friend who learns how to do it.
Yeah, he did that.
Using Chekhov's alcohol, which was
in
Chekhov's gun's holster. Yes. Now
I guess she has. Yeah, it's like you know the bank robbers. If you're the driver, you still get arrested as a bank robber. So right. That's a fair point.
And it's this whole thing with Josh. I think was his name.
Yeah.
Who's that? The podcast?
Literally useless the entire film.
Comic relief.
Yeah, the comic relief. Yeah.
Not that Bernie was the comic relief. Kid.
Oh, I guess, yeah, that's true. Bernie was, her friend was the comic relief, so. Yeah.
Her friend wasn't Josh was the one to get made fun of, right? Because he's being made fun of through the whole film, and it's like suddenly the writers went, hey, shit, we're on page 110, he hasn't done anything yet. Yeah. Let's turn him into a hacker, and then he'll pour alcohol and short out Mechagodzilla and save the world, and nobody will ever know.
And, you know, honestly, he could have been eaten by that skull crawling on the pit, and it would have made no difference.
By the way, whoever does Apex Fury...
It would have made the movie better.
It would have been shocking as hell.
Whoever does Apex Security, do not hire them for your own personal security service.
Oh,
because
God, no.
They're wandering around for hours before anybody notices.
They're actually in the process...
Aiza's Gonzalez's line, which is "I'm here to babysit you," is the most appropriate line of the film because she absolutely does nothing in the film, and so why is she there? And so
because
they have to put that line in there.
She's there, so she's evil. That's why she's there.
She's there to send the email.
Right,
yes.
Attract in the teenage boys probably too because
and then to shoot Godzilla in the back for no particular
Kong she shoots
not Godzilla,
Kong.
Sorry Kong to shoot Kong in the back for no particular reason
she's a bitch.
Because she's a bitch, which is weird because her father isn't an asshole, yet he has evil daughter. He's got Cruella De Vil as a daughter, and it makes no sense. She is a wasted character. It is faux threat. All right, it's the faux heel turn at the end.
Yeah.
We own the inner earth now. Ah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
you can't possibly use this energy resource that could save all of humanity.
You have the right to take this. Oh, yes, we can. We will.
See, for me, I think this could have been simplified.
She was only there to bring in teenage...
This whole thing could have been simplified. This whole thing could have been streamlined. You still would have had stupid human stuff, but it would have been less insultingly stupid and less... Now, the other thing is this reeked to me. Reeked. The moment they got into the heave, I could hear... Oh, we like all guests to please step all the way to the left and make room for the other guests as our ride begins.
Right.
It reeked. Like, if you've ever gone to, like, Disney World or Universal or these places where they have these, like, rides, like the theme ride, and you see it with things on screens and you're flying around come like the Star on, Wars rider.
Take a ride on a...
They always start with, here on the dinosaur ride at Disney, here is your vehicle that you will be going, and they introduce the vehicle type, and it's Star Tours or whatever. They all do this thing in the Kong ride in Universal. This is the thing you get into, and then you go, and you could see it's like a fucking ride, and you could see how this is going to be a ride.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree. Like, there's a certain moments where you could definitely see, like, oh my god, look how awesome this is. Monkey in slow motion.
Yeah.
Here we go. We're dodging all these obstacles, and it's just, yeah.
Hang on, folks. We're heading towards Hollow Earth. Ah! Through the little warp effect. There's going to be a giant animatronic Godzilla that you just fly right next to the mouth, and, you know, and you'll, and like, they'll spray some Godzilla spittle at you. And.
You're so right, right? It's so true.
And it's weird because on a visceral level, I could enjoy it like that, like it's an amusement park ride. But then at some point, people start talking again.
Right.
And I don't know why. I don't like that.
We have Isa Gonzalez saying, we own the
Middle Earth. All right. So I've got the film on the background now. So kind of my fourth time watching it. And we just had Mechagodzilla kill the Mexican Simmons family. You never even Shirazawa gets to kill one skull crawler and that's it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
so
then doesn't his brain die too?
He gets fried. He gets zapped. Yeah.
So yeah. To me, I'm thinking, like, first of all, they say, and I missed this the first three times, you know, but the first two times, they say there's a Godzilla, a Ghidorah skull, obviously the one that he pilots. And by the way, to answer your question earlier on, Eric, I think this was a director, writer, or art designer who thought it was just a cool image to have a guy piloting
I realize that. I'm saying it's bad script writing.
Oh, it is bad script writing, right. And they said there's another one inside Mechagodzilla. Well, no, the Godzilla destroyed two of the heads. They recovered one.
Yeah. Well, right. Here's the thing. Actually, here's the thing. In the film, in King of the Monsters, when Godzilla attacks Ghidorah over the ocean, he tears the head off. That's the one that is recovered at the end of that film.
Right.
However, at the climax of King of the Monster, when Godzilla becomes Burning Godzilla, he burns all of Ghidorah.
Right.
So it should be only one head. Yeah, should be only one fucking head around. Where's the other one come from?
Right, and they're talking about they communicated with each other psychically. Where did that come from?
So
it's like, aren't they, like, connected to one nervous system?
They are. And they don't need to, because the thing is, Michael Dougherty made Ghidorah kind of almost like different personalities for each head. They originally even verbally communicate with each other. They had character. That's how they kind of interacted. They didn't need psychic power or anything like that to make a link. They actually were part of one being and they communicated together, almost like fucking the Three Stooges attached to one body.
Right. I think it's the Heisei era. Or is that the second one?
Yes.
Right. Isn't that the one where they make Mechagodzilla out of the skeleton of the original Godzilla, the 54 Godzilla?
No. What they did that one was actually the Millennium.
Oh, okay. So under Millennium. All right. So I think it would have been a better idea if they just put the skull. They built Mechagodzilla around the skull of Ghidorah.
Yes.
So it has Ghidorah's brain in it. And there, where it makes a lot more sense when this thing kind of, they try to remote control it, and then Ghidorah kind of fights them and wrests control from it, sort of like a RoboCop 2 scenario, and then goes haywire. Same basic idea, eliminate the psychic bullshit, eliminate the skull outside of that's used to control. It's still basically the same idea. It's just a lot more streamlined and makes more sense to me. And again, I could be overthinking all this, but sort of like, I don't think we even need a whole Hollow Earth thing. I thought, first of all, secrecy bothers me. Then this film is built on secrets that shouldn't be kept secret. For example, where is Kong at the beginning of the film? He's under 24/7 observation, and yet somehow this little girl is going out talking to Kong. Kong's talking to her, and nobody notices.
Yeah, that right. makes no fucking sense.
Nobody
at all.
Notices.
Well, who yeah. could possibly notice a giant ape using sign language
to a little girl? Because this would imply that they let this little girl go out and talk to Kong
in a monster pit.
In a monster pit without being watched.
Right, exactly.
And we do know that those giant birds that impale people in the Cold Skull Island are inside the dome.
Yeah, we see them fly around.
And yeah, so the little girl shouldn't be completely safe. But why not just make it that they know?
Yeah,
because you find out, what's the point of keeping it a secret? And that's another thing I had, which is an issue, which is Kong is kind of a bitch at the beginning of the movie, right? He's imprisoned. He's forced to go along on this. They lie to him and say, hey, Kong, we found your family.
Yeah, yeah. That was kind of mean.
That was messed up.
What a massive dick move. And by the way, a massive dick move that makes the Skarsgård character a bit of a dick, as opposed to this just doofus that you had before.
Yeah, and you know, there's no like comeuppance for that kind of lie. You think they would have come back at some point, Kong, you know, being hurt by this, because he finds when he gets into that temple, he finds skeletons of his own kind and Godzilla right. bodies everywhere. So it's like he is the last one. You think he'd be upset by it, but he's like, nah, I got an axe. I'm good.
No, yeah, he plops down on the couch like Al Bundy.
That was weird. Yeah.
So that was a whole strange thing. So why not have them communicate with Kong, say, Godzilla is fucking our shit up. Would you help us? Now he's on board.
Yeah.
He can be on the boat without pumping sedatives in them, without putting the chains on him. I understand it's a classic Godzilla, not Godzilla, Kong image.
Yeah.
Is Kong. I get it. But that's not the story we're telling here. We're telling Godzilla, make Kong an active participant in this, as opposed to this guy being dragged along and lied to.
Yeah. And because of it, he gets his ass kicked twice by Godzilla. He almost dies the second time. They actually had to fucking blow up a vehicle on top of him just to give him a jolt of what do you call those things? Defibrillators. Yes, giant defibrillators just to bring him back from the dead. Like, the poor guy goes through major shit.
Well, I'm also dubious as to whether I don't care how advanced the helicopter is. Those helicopters probably don't have the fuel range to fly out into the middle of wherever the fuck they were in the ocean with Kong and then carry him to Antarctica.
Yeah. Well, they don't. By the way, nerds, I've overanalyzed this and sort of like discussing the physics of a superhero film. The helicopters do not have that much ability to lift the weight of Kong as listed at the beginning of the film.
And the fuel range thing is just a physical capability thing,
right? The fuel range is a whole nother aspect to it too, and it's the whole thing of, all right, Godzilla left us alone as long as we don't move.
That was a little weird.
Yeah, but now we're gonna move Kong, and so Godzilla's gonna come back and attack him,
it was funny.
Why not? He's above the water now.
That's going to stop the giant fire-breathing radioactive dinosaur from coming back for him.
Oh, I guess it was because Kong's hand was hanging in the water that Godzilla was able to taste.
Oh, they should have pulled up 2 inches.
But, okay. So, whatever you just... And then the other thing is, why would they keep a Godzilla-killing or Titan-killing weapon a secret? Don't you think the whole world would go after, you know, a dozen cities have been destroyed? You know what? Maybe that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. So, you know, I thought, for example, before the film came out, because I already had my kind of took some guesses at what was going on. I thought that Apex was making Godzilla attack certain areas on purpose, so they could try to promote the machine and get support.
Well, at least that would have. Maybe I totally misread the movie. I thought he was just an evil mastermind, and he was trying to make Mechagodzilla to beat Godzilla so he could rule the fucking world.
They didn't, but then they should. He didn't have his speech, though. He should have had his speech telling us that.
That's another reason this is a not great movie.
Yeah,
he didn't have the villain, the James Bond villain speech.
Yeah.
His daughter did, and it was
weird. So why not just have a thing where Godzilla? By the way, another sign that the film might have been either horribly, horribly written or horribly hacked apart was they make reference to Godzilla attacks, plural. When we see one, right? So Godzilla's attacking. If they give the sense that he's attacked multiple places, we only saw him attack the one place. Why is he only attacking Apex facilities? He attacked one, right? So give us a couple of Apex facilities around the world. Get a little bit more Godzilla involved here, so he's not so much a sidekick in this story. You can have it. They realized that. Hey, he's attacking them because they've got this weapon they're testing. And they can use then to stage where Godzilla is going to go, and they can bring Kong there to have him fight Godzilla there. Right? There's ways to do that. You could still do three rounds and have the final battle in Hong Kong or wherever it is and have the whole thing. Then you find out that the secret thing about the weapon is that it's Ghidorah's head controlling, and that's where you go, oh, that was a really
now,
dumb fucking idea.
Yeah, and here's another thing that was kind of an issue is that I feel not just Godzilla's fucking – he has like ADHD or something. Like he's on his fucking warpath to hunt down – the presence of Ghidorah. He's attacking those eight places, but suddenly he goes, oh, monkey! He goes after Kong any chance he gets because he just senses him. But you think it's just kind of like really weird. It's like he's in King of the Monsters, Godzilla confronts the Monarch sub because he thinks it's his territory. He's challenging it. Suddenly he gets whiffed that Ghidorah's waking up and he goes off to go to hunt him down, and that's his mission. Suddenly, this mission is so secondary to him trying to beat up this monkey because he's got to be the big boy. And
it's hard to be Godzilla.
Godzilla's got a hard life. He's going through some serious shit this movie.
Oh, and one more thing I want to – the other thing is if you do it the way I said, you eliminate the whole Hollow Earth thing, and you want to give Godzilla Kong the axe, have him make his own axe. I thought it was cheap that he found the axe.
Yeah, he came across it. I thought he was going to, like, take it from the skeleton, maybe, and just kind of, you know, just kind of forge it.
Or a piece of Godzilla's frill breaks off in the middle of a fight.
That could have worked, too.
Now, I don't know what he would have used as a handle, but they would have worked something out.
Now, I will say that I was very glad to see that when they did fight, Godzilla won. Because it never made sense to me that Kong would ever win that fight.
Yeah, and the Kong fans are upset about this.
Why? Yeah, I'm upset about it. I'm a Kong fan.
Well, I don't have anything against Kong. I like Kong. I'm just saying, when you're a big monkey versus a radioactive lizard that has a tail and radioactive breath, you're outmatched. That's all.
And it made more sense that Kong
They made it look like Kong could just get crushed by him.
Basically, that's the thing.
He could.
Yes, because
this is a fact. Godzilla.
Yeah, Godzilla has been around much longer. He's been fighting much more powerful opponents than before he even tackles the monkey. He fights ancient mutants. Parasites that can pretty much EMP all the power from the world, and he kills a celestial space dragon, which is the eater of worlds. I think a monkey is going to be pretty easy.
Well, Kong beat a skull crawler.
Oh, and you know, I mean, they had to give him the handicap of the axe too.
You know, well, but they and they also gave him some HGH over the last 50 years.
Well, they did set that up in Skull Island.
Yes, they did. But my point is, same thing with Kong versus Godzilla, which is the original movie. It was King Kong versus Godzilla. Right, they have to make him grow larger there, and they gave him like weird lightning powers or something.
Yeah, right.
To try to even play.
And made that lightning Godzilla's weakness too, which was
Right, and that's one of the weird things about Kong in this universe is like if you looked at the last film, actually both of the other two Godzilla films, the monsters have this weird radiation power or energy powers to some degree. They're all glowing from within, and Kong is just a big monkey.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's almost like they're two completely different universe characters, right? They're not even drawn from the same mythology. So it's weird that you're trying to put them in the same mythology.
Yeah, but they did with the Japanese versions and Kong.
Right. And they had to give Kong bullshit powers there too.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think, you know, for all that we've been bashing on this film a lot, and I'm sure there are some people go, but I fucking love this movie. And by the way, I do not fault you for loving this movie. I love chunks of this movie.
Yeah. There were some fun moments. There were some really awesome moments.
Kong looks fucking phenomenal.
He does. The sound design and the visuals
and the facial expressions and the noises he makes are all great.
I think it was actually almost a smart move to kind of give Kong a central part of this because he has, you know, the great expressions and stuff like that. And also, give the monkey a break because outside of the two Japanese films, Kong's life expectancy and his movies has not been very good.
No, Kong's entire purpose of existing is to die.
Yeah. And the very fact that he actually puts up a decent fight against Godzilla saves that same monster. Saves Godzilla from like a Godzilla and gets a pretty epic kill and gets a happy ending in this film is quite a step up from getting shot down from a plane every time he gets kidnapped.
Right. And I will say I had a huge fucking grin on my face at that moment when they're teaming up against Mechagodzilla. When Godzilla used his breath to power up the axe, I was like, "Oh, that's pretty fucking cool."
Right, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say I would love a movie where Kong and Godzilla team up against a pair of monsters for another movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I think I kind of called this because like this whole versus thing, comic books have established really, really well for a long time. The pattern for this. But I figured when Adam Wingard said that this won't be a thing where it's unclear, you know, there won't be a bullshit, there's a draw, or the, you know, at the end, there will be a clear victor. I thought about it. I said, okay, Godzilla will be the clear victor, but Kong will be the one that beats the common foe at the end. And that way both sides get to walk away with victory. And that's basically what they did.
Yeah.
A
lot of times in those kind of versus movie, as you said, like, for example, Freddy versus Jason, the fight doesn't finish, and basically humans interfere and blow them out of the water. Batman versus Superman, it's, you know, the Martha thing.
Martha! Fuck!
Yeah, so it's like there's some kind of interference that kind of stops it from any being winner. So props to Wingard for giving, victories to each monster. And even Mechagodzilla is a pretty cool moment where he's absolutely terrifying. You know, so
he was mopping the floor with Godzilla until he stepped in.
Yeah, but and he was still mopping the floor with Kong too. But he was still, even with a short amount of time on the screen, he still was actually pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So there was actually really good the monster things were solid. Everything else was just such a fucking mess. Yeah. Honestly, when I first heard Godzilla versus Kong being made, I kept pictured and people were making the memes already. Mothra, why'd you say that name? You know, people are going to, you know, I kept thinking, they're not going to think of victory.
It's pretty fucking funny.
It is funny. But I kept thinking, they're not going to do it because the Kong fans, the Godzilla fans will rage. You know, that's because
everybody rages about everything now. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah. But I was still happy that Wingard actually was sticking to his word. There was actually going to be a winner in the titular fight.
Well, See, first of all, let me say I absolutely loved, as ridiculous as it was, or maybe because it was so ridiculous, the first fight on the ocean.
Yeah. That aircraft carrier is the most powerful thing I've ever fucking seen to hold the weight of those two fucking monsters.
Right, and it is kind of tradition, right? Kong is a god, is a mountain king, right? It was on Skull Mountain, and Godzilla is the ocean, is king of the oceans. Traditionally in these kind of versus things, you have at least one fight in each one's home turf. And the problem is Kong has no hope on Godzilla's home turf. I know he was in chains. I know he was sedated. It doesn't make a difference. He was not making it on that. But I love the Jaws reference. With him towing the battleship behind, like George the barrel. Yeah. And it was like, he can't go down, not with two ships on him, he can't.
And I absolutely love the scene where Godzilla's dorsal plates cut through one of the ships.
Oh, God. And yeah, just, and all of that. And of course, they have to have the scene where, where Kong picks up the plane and throws it futilely at Godzilla's dorsal plate, and you just show the guy, make sure you show him ejecting safely.
Yeah, you don't want blood on Kong's hand.
I liked it better in King of the Monsters when that one dude ejected straight in a Rodan's
mouth. Was awesome. That was great.
Apparently, I have to look this up. Apparently, there was like an R-rated cut of this.
Really?
Makes me wonder, how did you make this R-rated? I don't even know why you would
add milk and guts from the love.
What was that, Bill?
Blood guts from the monsters, maybe?
I don't know. That's what I'm curious to see, because like, I wouldn't even think to set out making an R-rated Godzilla Kong film, right? And why would you do that? Kids should be your prime audience.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if it was monster blood and guts, or if there were a lot of people being killed.
Or, maybe monkey junk or something.
Monkey lizard sex.
But that's where you get to Rampage, right? You know, Lizzie and Ralph and, you know, anyway. The idea that, was Ralph the monkey?
Don't care.
Or is Ralph the wolf? Anyhow, they just, like, when they say, well, Godzilla is no longer humanity's savior. And, like, every time these things walk, they just step on people. You know, when Kong jumped from battleship to battleship to get to the second aircraft carrier, I'm sure there were, like, you know, like 130 people died.
Yeah.
And Godzilla didn't give a shit about the people on the battleship that he just knifed through just to get to Kong.
And how many people died in Hong Kong? Jesus Christ.
Lord. God, there must be the...
Right.
You know,
and how many... Yeah, because there was a lot that died in Pensacola. And then Hong Kong, whole buildings. I mean, they would just kill them all.
You can also imagine the amount of radiation poison in Hong Kong when Godzilla fucking blew the hole through the fucking Earth's crust.
What I love is there's a shot when Godzilla and Kong, like, when they start beating on each other. Now, Godzilla's smart. He arrived early so he could lay out his plan. So he's been in Hong Kong for a bit. And then, I'm going to guess, for a couple of hours, because let's not forget, Kong also had to travel a few thousand miles up to the surface of the Earth.
That's true.
To get to Godzilla. Because, as we know, there was no Stargate in there to... whatever.
It's so funny, because it takes... it had been so much longer, because in that moment, it was seconds. Kong somehow climbs through the fucking Earth's core back to the surface within seconds. He just climbs up there through the little tunnel, you know, just goes like, oh, punch a lizard in the fucking face. Come here.
As far as that goes, I gotta say, I could watch Kong punch Godzilla in the face all day long. That is awesome shit.
Yeah,
Right, so anyway, so just like they start to trade blows, and you cut to the inside of a, like, what looks like a restaurant on top of a building, and there's people eating there or something, and they're like, they look out, and there's Godzilla and Kong beating on each other, and then they decide to start to run. It's like, oh, Godzilla's been hanging out for a while. You said, no, we don't have to leave. Wait for the other monster to arrive. Yeah, then no.
He's not hurting anybody. We're fine. Let's. can my check, please?
Right. Can I have another martini?
Exactly. I don't need to be drunk for this yet. my favorite moments was actually when Kong's jumping between the tops of the buildings.
Yeah, it was
always cool. But I also love when Godzilla's trying to shoot him and he hits Kong in the back. We get some nice and special expression from Godzilla. He's just kind of grinning. He's like, yeah, got you, bitch.
Yeah, there was one shot when he, like, Godzilla looked directly into the camera and laughed.
Yep.
And that made me guffaw.
And by the way, Mechagodzilla does it later, too.
Yeah. And I just love this. One thing I really love about the MonsterVerse is that the monsters get to have these nice personalities and stuff like that in character. Because honestly, if they had the budget or maybe could cut down the film to a shorter thing, I would love a more silent monster focused film, like almost like Walking with Dinosaurs or something like that.
Yeah,
that'd be so cool. I would love to see
like a prehistoric age.
Yeah,
or ancient Earth. So yeah. Oh God. Yeah, and what I like, it's a quicker battle, but right. So now that the tide has turned, now we got Kong able to use the environment kind of more to his advantage, and hop around and jump on the buildings and use them for cover and Godzilla and beats the shit out of Godzilla. But even then, right, it's like reminded me of was it Rocky II, where Rocky and Apollo Creed basically punch each other out at the same time in the fight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Rocky just happens to stumble to his feet like a second before Apollo Creed does, until he becomes the winner. And that kind of feels like this. It's like, you know, Kong barely made it, and it's like, okay, and you have Skarsgård say, well, round two goes to Godzilla, it goes to Kong, in case we weren't keeping track. But Kong barely is there. And then you get to round three, and at that, it's sort of like, all right,
Godzilla,
come here, boy.
Playing.
I'm not fucking around no more. I'm taking your ass to the woodshed, because you don't know when to stay the fuck down. And, oh my God, I mean, I don't think I've ever actually found Godzilla scary. Holy shit, was he a frightening motherfucker.
Oh, God, he was brutal.
When he just starts tearing into Godzilla, into Kong, just tearing the shit out of him. And you just see this look on Kong's face. He's like, oh, fuck.
That was bullshit.
Oh, no, God. That was awesome. That was awesome.
Bullshit.
That was Kong.
The way it would go, Phil.
No, it's that's
no. The way it would go.
Yeah, Godzilla's big and strong and well-armored.
And he's also more experienced in fighting other Titans than, you know, the guy who killed him with Skullcrawler.
God damn
it. I'll take King of the Monsters over King of the Island. And in a battle, look, I like Kong. I really, if you were to ask me who would I want to win in this, I really don't know, because I love both characters.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense to me to make Kong a focal character here, because Godzilla's less of a character than he is an icon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and part of it's just because he's a giant lizard, and it's hard for us to identify it where we can identify with monkey brains.
Yeah. And I think it's also because, you know, Kong
is a legend. Come on.
Well, not as compared to Godzilla, but I think Kong is much more focal in terms of character, because, you know, his story from each remake that came before, the first film, 1971, and of course 2005, and then Kong Skull Islands, we at least had a connection between the human characters more than Godzilla had with any human characters in his films. So it was made sense to have him as a focal character. And I actually really did
Kong
like
Kong has the best film of the bunch.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. But as I said, it made sense to make Kong the focal character. And also because, you know, we'd already had a Godzilla focal film beforehand. And it also helped, too, because I really did like the interactions between him and the young girl. I thought there was a really sweet moments. I thought that those kind of quiet moments where the two communicate with each other was really nice. Because he also got some great expressions and character from Kong from that. And as I said, I was fucking happy Kong didn't fucking get blasted by Godzilla as a heroic sacrifice and shit. I thought he was going to die at some point. I'm thinking, like, you know, Kong.
Godzilla showed mercy.
Yeah, yeah.
he basically, it was like Mike said, he basically screamed in Kong's face, like, stay the fuck down.
But I honestly thought, when he came to save Godzilla at the end, he was going to, like, die in the finale. Because, as I said, Kong's luck has never been very good. Right. And I kept thinking, like, oh my God, they're going to use that. You know, they're going to have him sacrifice himself to save Godzilla. And then we're going to have a tear-jerking moment between him and the little girl. He's dying. Because I was thinking, like, Kong always fucking dies.
Well, reportedly, and this was a thing I was thinking about, and I don't know how true it is. I was taking it as true, even though I didn't know if it was true. The contract with Toho says that they were not allowed to kill Godzilla unless there was a Godzilla Jr., right? Because of course that is another Godzilla tradition, right?
Someone to carry on because in the Heisei series, the very last film was Godzilla vs. Destoroyah, a character who was throughout those films was a young Godzilla who then grew up to be the new Godzilla. That way it kind of kept the saga going, which is why when the Millennium series started, people had a theory that the Godzilla in that series was Godzilla Jr., but Toho said no, that was just this new Godzilla entirely.
So I had suspected what they were going to do is have Godzilla, like, die in the final battle. There would be a Godzilla Jr., but because the rights ended with Godzilla in this film, Legendary would have the ability to continue to make MonsterVerse films with all their own monsters, no matter what happened with Toho. And if Toho agreed to re-up with them, then they could have found a way to get Junior Godzilla to magically have a growth spurt and bring us Godzilla back. Otherwise, it didn't really matter. But that wasn't what happened. That was a theory of mine. But that was an issue. I think they handled it well. I think both of them came out, and I think it's clear, like, at the end, Kong drops his act. He's like, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
But he doesn't bow. He does not bow to Godzilla.
It's basically an end to the feud between their species.
Right.
You know, because basically their war had left them the only ones standing in their whole race. There were other circumstances and stuff, like the Skullcrawlers and Mutos, but basically Godzilla and Kong, the last of their kind, and basically it came down to them to, well, no pun intended, bury the hatchet in their feud. And I thought it was kind of nice because they did it without anyone saying, oh, they're making peace with each other. As this kind of, you know, the idiot on the sideline was saying that they just kind of use the characters' expressions and their gestures to show that. And I thought it was really cool. That's why if they ever do another Kong Godzilla crossover, I want to see them team up between two other monsters, maybe like Gigan and some other monster, and some kind of, you know, the double team wrestling match.
I would agree. Even though I still think at the end, Kong should, like, take the axe to Godzilla's back as vengeance for losing the first fight.
So you think he should fight dirty?
Right!
Do you know why, Eric?
To win.
Because he's a damn dirty ape.
He's a poop thrower.
The thing about Kong and Godzilla teaming up, that would be a good movie. I would agree.
Yeah, I would say that if you did get maybe like Gigan, some other creature together, and then I would, because there've been a couple of films like that. Actually, Kong and Godzilla teaming up against Mechagodzilla was now almost as a shout out to the first time Godzilla fought Mechagodzilla, and that monster was King Caesar.
Right.
So yeah, that was kind of a cool shout out there too. But honestly, I would just love it because Godzilla and Kong show some really cool traits that could really make some really cool combos and shit like that. I mean, fucking Godzilla helped turn Kong's axe into a lightsaber, for fuck's sake.
Oh, and by the way, my original theory was, if you remember the original Mechagodzilla film, Mechagodzilla is weirdly disguised as Godzilla. As part of a bizarrely underpants gnome level plot to take over the Earth
by space monkeys.
Right, by space monkeys, is that they would dress up a robot to be like Godzilla and ruin, destroy Godzilla's reputation. And so I was thinking, like, if there were, I think, I wasn't expecting aliens. We'll get to that in a minute. I was expecting, like, someone was doing a thing where they made a fake Godzilla, right? And that was the fake Godzilla is what was destroying everything. And, you know, then it would fight Kong, and Kong would, like, strip it away, and we'd find out oh no, it's Mechagodzilla. It's not a real Godzilla. And then Godzilla would have to come in and help Kong beat the Mechagodzilla. So that was why I assumed there was a Mechagodzilla in there. My theory was completely wrong.
Right.
Even though I ended up being correct. And it just by stupidity. What did you think of Mechagodzilla's design?
It almost looked like Ultron from the Marvel series fucked a gecko.
With a little bit of a Michael Bay Transformers spooge mixed in.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wasn't a fan of it.
You're a sentence that ends with "fuck the gecko." Thank you, Abe.
I honestly wasn't a huge fan of the design when I first saw it. It has grown on me. I love the reveal of it coming up through the floor, curled up in a ball.
That was pretty cool.
That was awesome.
And I could have seen that, right? If you said, you know, if they've shown this, here is our, like this picture. Like, this is the thing. This is the anti-Titan weapon, and all you saw was this ball with spikes on it. Right? And we would be thinking, what is this sort of lightning weapon or energy death ray or something? And then it, like, would unfurl into Godzilla. I thought that, you know, that's not Godzilla, Mechagodzilla. I thought, you know, it still could have worked. Like I said, the plot was way too convoluted for this. I did like they had Lethal Weapon of Kong having to pop his shoulder back in.
Yeah. That was kind of cool. That was awesome.
And they even gave Godzilla in the old films, the old Showa films, like before he was like, he would go charge at an enemy. He would do like a little shoulder shimmy, and he did a little shoulder shimmy when he first goes after and charges at Mechagodzilla. I thought that was a nice little touch. Kong stuffing the axe down Godzilla's throat.
Yeah, eat your vegetables.
Right, was just like the helicopter lift was an homage to Kong versus Godzilla. So was the stuffing the tree down Godzilla, the bone of some random Titan, but it was used as the axe handle. So, I mean the monster action I thought was phenomenal. I think it's like the most literal thrill park ride I've seen in a movie, and we often say that it's a roller coaster ride. This is about as close to a roller coaster ride movie as I can think of, because it has a shitty story and bad acting and a lot of spectacle.
Here's the thing, though. If they're going to make it a roller coaster ride, do a better job of just having the ride without all this other convoluted bullshit in the way.
Right. A lot of the stuff in this
movie that does not need to be here.
But the most important thing, I think, is that they showed that we need to take conspiracy theorists seriously.
Listen to the podcasters.
Well, I did like how they had that whole resolution with Bernie's character, how he's suffering the grief from the loss of his wife, and he makes peace with that at the end. They didn't do anything like that. They didn't do it that at all.
That whole thing was, I don't even know why they even mentioned that.
He was married.
It was nice how they tied it in, right? That he's obsessed with the monsters because, you know, the Titans killed his wife. Oh, no, they didn't do that either. No, they didn't do that.
That was the yellow movie. But, yeah.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, honestly, that's why I think I have to agree with Phil in terms of, like, Kong Skull Island has the nice best balance of all these things. Because we have the soldier from World War II who had been living on the island for a long time, and his struggle trying to get back home and stuff like that. And we actually have some really cool, nice, interesting character moments too in there, but it doesn't bog down any of the creature stuff. And there's a lot of cool monster stuff in that one.
Yeah, and also, Abe, I mentioned Rampage. And the human characters in that are actually good. You have the Rock.
The villains in that movie are some of the worst characters I've ever seen on screen. They were terrible.
They were terrible. I mean, no worse than the ones in this one.
No, but you've heard all the praise I have for the work of the actors and characters in this film. And no offense to the actors. I know they didn't write it, and I'm sure, and I do think this script has been butchered to hell. Oh, by the way, I mentioned aliens before. There were supposed to be aliens in the movie.
They had Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you know.
There were supposed to be a there was supposed
mean, aliens.
There was supposed to be a post credit sequence.
Grace?
That was it. I didn't say Grace, I said aliens. I don't know if they were xenomorphs, I don't know if they were zillions, I don't know if they were space monkeys. All I know
crab people
that they were aliens. And that I guess was supposed to be like the foreshadowing of whatever's coming next. But they just the footage apparently elsewhere in the film. And the only thing I think we could think of that even remotely comes close to that is having the Stargate, which would explain why it makes no sense, because it was taken from a thing that was for a wholly different thing and just put in there. So I don't know where the alien thing came in, how they used it, why they changed it. I'm really, really curious to like hear the original idea. Like, I want the Snyder cut of Godzilla versus Kong. You know, can I find out?
I don't. I want a shorter cut.
Listen, don't get me wrong. It is purely from a filmmaking curiosity. You know, I want to know what was the original story to this film, and would it have made it any better?
I just
want to
see the monsters fight.
And that too, I'm fine with that. I'm sure, like in 5 minutes, there will be a YouTube edit of this that is 30 minutes long. Of monsters beating the crap out of each other.
Yes, give me the monster cut.
Yeah, that's fine. That's, you know, as long as there's less you know, Hollow Earth BS and less people just bumbling about. I mean, it's absolutely weird that out of all these films, this one had the most characters but the least amount of development.
Well, again, Skull Island did it. I mean, I think Skull Island wasn't perfect.
No.
I think that Brie Larson's character didn't really serve much of a purpose other than to give Kong his blonde fetish. Tom Hiddleston didn't really serve much of a purpose. But your Randa, the John Goodman character, the Sam Jackson character, and certainly the John C. Reilly characters, and even Shea Whigham's, right, who, as we all know, went out in one of the most comical deaths that year. With the grenade being smacked.
Yeah.
they made an effort to put character into the characters. And here, I like, can you tell me anything about Josh?
No.
Yeah. Can you tell me anything about Cruella De Simon?
The answer to all your questions
is no.
You've made your point.
Yeah.
As I stated, the best of this universe is Skull Island by far, and also I preferred Rampage over most of these films, except for Skull Island maybe.
That's fine.
But again, that's also because the monsters in that were cool, and it was The Rock.
But I would also think, like, you could do, as stupid as it was, now that it's established, I could go for some, like, monster action down in Hollow Earth. I mean, I could go for some monster action pretty much anywhere.
Well,
we know.
This is why I'm thinking they should just reboot it and get rid of all that crap and just start with Godzilla and Kong. Being discovered and go right from there.
But I don't really excited anytime monkeys are involved.
Yeah, I don't think that they're gonna reboot it after their most what seems like it might be their most successful one.
We've discussed that a lot of times they're successful because it's brand new, and then after people see it, then you know the next one is a dud because everybody was like disappointed and. The prior one, even if it made a lot of money.
But a lot of people aren't that disappointed in the film.
Yeah. Godzilla's been around for a long time.
Yeah. It's been serious with so many ups and downs.
No, but that's why I'm saying they could reboot instead of expanding this story, because this story is kind of not
true. The only way they reboot at this point, well, first of all, every Godzilla movie is almost a reboot of what came before, because they tend to ignore each other. The only way I think you're getting a reboot is if they don't keep the rights from Toho, if they can't come to an agreement and they have to continue it without Godzilla. I think that's the only way you're getting a reboot, and it's only going to be a soft reboot because it'll be the same universe that never mentions Godzilla ever again.
But they could call this Skull Island.
That's the TV series that's coming.
Is that a joke or is that really happening?
Yeah,
really happening.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
They're doing a Skull Island TV series, which I guess is set before this. I think it's being developed for, I don't remember. There's like, there's a Monarch series and there's a Skull Island series. One is being, I think, done for HBO Max and one is being developed for Netflix.
Huh. Interesting.
Okay.
Okay, so the Skull Island, and what was the other one?
Monarch, or like something Monarch, about gotcha. Monarch and Monster Hunters.
No. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. But yeah, if Toho was able to make different eras, why can't Hollywood make different eras and say, okay, we're all done with this era, and now it's start fresh with a brand new
reboot. Toho usually made different eras when they were forced to because the last film bombed.
Yeah. Like, basically, because we had, as I had mentioned earlier, we had the Showa series, and then we had the Heisei series, and then we had the Millennium. Basically, the Showa series had really fallen apart because they had some bad budget films and bombs. That's why they rebooted it with Not Godzilla 1984 and carried on with the Heisei series, which they ended on their own terms with Godzilla vs. Destroyer. But of course, that's where Mike had mentioned about the Godzilla Jr. carry on when they had, even though Godzilla dies that film, they had his son carry on.
And right, in the original Showa, Destroy All Monsters was supposed to end it.
Yeah.
And that ended up being a huge hit, so they did what they shouldn't have done, which is they continued it. And then it went bounced up and down where people didn't like the next one and said, okay, we'll make one more to go out on a bang. And then everyone loved it. Said, okay, we'll make one more after that. And everybody didn't like it.
Yeah.
And they kept doing that a couple of times. And then they ended up with, Mechagodzilla and then Terror of Mechagodzilla?
No, it was Terror of Mechagodzilla. And it was also Godzilla's Revenge, which is a stock footage mess.
I thought that was earlier.
No, they were kind of close together, I think.
What was the one with the butt waggle monster, the Titanosaur?
That was Terror Mechagodzilla.
Okay, because I thought that was the last one to be done, and it was a big disappointment.
It was, I think, it was from a mixed bag, but I just knew there was so many up, you know. Yeah, it was weird. The end of that timeline was very strange, and I think I recall the Millennium series was started because after that was on because they started with Godzilla 2000, but that was quickly made because of the mess with the Emmerich Godzilla movie.
Right, so then they do the Heisei era, which is they take like almost a 10-year break, do Godzilla 1984 or Godzilla 1985, depending on where you are, and they basically run that one into the ground. But that one actually does, of all of them, have the most cohesive universe.
Yeah, it's weird, but it still has connections and stuff like that.
Right, there are connections between the Godzilla 84, Godzilla versus Beyonce, and Godzilla versus Space Godzilla, and whatever comes after that.
Yeah, and then Godzilla vs. Destroyer is actually has called back to the Oxygen Destroyer from the first
movie.
No, we're just answering Phil's question.
We've been going on for about 10 minutes now.
Okay.
Yeah, but the point is that they stop it when they stop making money. And this one hasn't stopped making money.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they take off a couple of years in between.
And oddly, all those lemon Godzillas may actually have better stories than this one.
Well, they actually had terrible characters, but they're terrible characters that have arcs.
That's true.
People actually learn something.
That's true, too.
I mean, there was one movie where Godzilla literally fights a walking blob of pollution. Everyone learns not to pollute.
That was a great Godzilla movie.
So you're saying that Godzilla is Captain Planet?
He
Godzilla would kick the shit out of Captain Planet.
it was Godzilla goes through the strangest kind of change of over the years. He starts off as a representation of nuclear horror, then he becomes a superhero, then he goes to an anti-hero, then he's still anti-hero, then he suddenly becomes a superhero. It's kind of, he's played all the fucking roles.
I really like him much more of a force of nature, which is really more of how I see him in this series.
Yeah.
Right? Is he does his thing, and we are completely incidental to his thing. And that's it. it's like,
and somehow humans keep making things worse in this fucking universe.
We happen to have built buildings where he wants to go.
Right. We happen to have enemies that he wants to kill. He doesn't care that they're our enemies and that he's helping us. He just wants to kill the things that he wants to kill.
Our buildings are pretty much Lego pieces in the house. He's trying to walk around. He's stepping on them barefoot, and he's getting pissed off.
Yeah, well, that would do that. Have they tried stopping Godzilla with Lego pieces scattered on the ground? because that might work.
All right.
I think we're going around circles now.
We're running out of steam on this one.
Yeah. And it's weird. We beat up a lot on the film because it deserves it. I'm not saying you're wrong for loving the film if you love the film. And like the little girl was a great performance. That they don't do much with her character except to be a mouthpiece to Kong. But she gives a good performance. Some of the actors do their best, but they're not given a lot to work with. But there's only so much of. Yeah, wasn't it awesome when they punched each other? And I think we're all, except for Phil, on the same page of we thought it was awesome when they punched each other.
Right.
It's just that there's only so many ways to describe that.
Yeah.
Right.
But no, it was awesome, the whole fight. It was cool.
It was just that Kong lost, that's all.
I think Kong, having him almost basically die and then having to use some bomb to wake his heart. I think they should have.
It wasn't
had
a bomb, Phil. It was a heave.
A heave to his heart.
Oh, I'm sorry. And in all fairness, it was bullshit when they did it in Evil Dead. It's bullshit when they did it here, too.
Oh, yeah, they use a car battery. That's right.
What I think they should have done was just have Kong, move away to the other side of the city as a loser, rather than have him actually die. That was kind of ridiculous.
Or just get knocked out.
That's the only.
Kong's goal in life is to die at the end of the movie.
And they didn't do it.
Yeah, but
so
they could have recreated his character where
it was. Homage. It was an homage to King Kong Lives, where they have to give Kong a heart transplant.
Oh, that's right. They did that fucking thing.
There's a movie.
I never saw that.
Yes.
There's mid-80s Linda Hamilton.
There's even Eric, there's even monkey King Kong sex scene.
Because this is the sequel to the Dino De Laurentiis Kong.
All right, let's
King Kong and Lady Kong.
I pretty enjoyed my King Kong 1976.
Yes, so did I. I'll do that episode any day.
I'm with you. That's a great movie. I like that movie. The best.
You weren't talking about that one when you said Kong has the best movie out of all of them, were you?
Well, you know, John, Mike, you know my buddy John from the Greenland episode. Well, he was working at a VHS store, rental store once, and I was hanging out with him, after. Friday night, and
is this gonna get sexy?
No. This woman and her daughter comes in, and son come in, and they're looking around trying to figure out what to rent, and they go, and they come up to us, they go, yeah, I don't know what to rent for my kids, and then I said, and I'm thinking, and out of the blue, I just thought of that King Kong film. I go, oh, here, you want to check this film here? This is King Kong, and. And she goes, King Kong from – I never heard of this film. And I go, yeah, it stars Jeff Bridges and Jessica Lange's first film. It's really good. Your kids will love it. And she goes, oh, I'm going to get this for myself because I love Jeff Bridges, if you know what I mean. It's like, all right. It was awesome. So, yeah, so hopefully she enjoyed the film for different reasons than her kids.
Oh, God.
She was looking at Jeff Bridges' as eye candy.
It does not hold up. The music is fantastic.
I had to admit the animatronics in the Kong costume were pretty good, too.
For the time, at least. But then there's the snake.
Oh, the snake was awful. That was garbage.
Why are we talking about a different movie?
I love that scene, even if it wasn't excellent special effects. But we'll discuss that film when it comes out, maybe. But yeah, we're talking about a different movie.
Okay, let's wrap it up, for God's sake.
All right. So we've been recording for 2 hours.
Godzilla's sake.
So we don't really have any time for news or anything. But that's all right, because this is a big film, and everybody wanted to reminisce about good things and bash it and talk about how awesome the fight was and all everything. So we can go on, and before we do give our final thoughts, Eric, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan.
I do. It's a general interest podcast called the Askancity Podcast. That's spelled Askancity. You can get it wherever you found this one.
Excellent. And Mike, me, you, and Eric are doing another podcast that we're probably going to be recording an episode in probably early May.
Yes, it is Cinéma à la Carte that you can find on the Dark Discussions Podcast Network or wherever your finer podcasts are found. And that is you, myself, and Eric just sort of randomly discussing whatever movie we happen to feel like talking about that month.
Excellent. Also, our new podcast is coming out with me, Kevin Letts, and Barrett to discuss the X Josh Whedon television show The Nevers on HBO. So we're going to start that one up next week. I haven't seen that episode yet, but I know Kevin Letzel is all excited.
You have committed yet again.
Well, they
to a TV series that you haven't seen.
That's true, but they watched the first episode, Kevin and Barrett. I let them be guinea pigs, and they said, "Yeah, it's actually pretty good." So I'm
good luck.
And it's only 6 episodes, I think, and then there's like a big hiatus for until the other 6 or something. So yeah, so it won't be too bad. So yeah, right. We'll figure that out. We don't know the title or anything, but anyway. That's that. So let's get into our final thoughts on this film here. So, hey, why don't you start?
While this film is very, very flawed, it's very, very, very flawed. Lack of character development, messy plot, absolute bullshit science, even pseudoscience, and just a lot of convoluted mess is here and there in terms of like developments and setups. The monster fights are awesome. The visual effects are solid. Kong Godzilla gets some really cool moments. It's a fun movie if you're there for the thrill ride of seeing the creatures and the action. It's a real slog, though, when you have to deal with the characters and the strange missed opportunities and confusing character lack of motivations and any growth. It's a mixed bag and it is an entire package, but if you just want to go see the monsters beat the shit out of each other, you'll have a great time. Honestly, I had more. As much as I enjoyed the action scenes, I had more fun talking about the movie than I did watch it in its entirety. Still, if you want to see a T-Rex who breathes fire and a monkey with an axe fight each other, go see it.
Very good. For me, Abe summed it up. It's a very, 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 very flawed film. If I was a kid, I would probably love this film, but as an adult, It's the flaws are just way too many for me to actually enjoy it. Other folks who just like action films and stuff like that will probably like it as adults. It's definitely a film that we always say this about art house films, but to be honest, this is a film that you could say isn't for everybody. So if you know what monster kaiju movies are like, you may like this film. I wasn't a big fan, but I'm sure many people who listen to this podcast probably would like it, though it won't be for everybody because, again, it's, you know, it's a kaiju film. If you know how those films are, that will determine whether you like it or not, or if this film is for you or not. Eric.
Sorry, Eric. You went in a different order.
I did. I'm sorry. I thought of that after I called your name. It's like, oh, Eric's going to be pissed.
This movie has great monster fight actions. So come for the monsters, leave for the humans. That's, yeah, monster's good. The rest is awful. But overall, I mean, I had a big smile on my face at the end of the movie because the monster, they end with the good monster fight. And that lives a good feeling.
All right, very good. And Mike?
Yeah, if you went to see Godzilla for Aaron Taylor Johnson, and if you went to see Godzilla King of the Monsters for Vera Farmiga, and you're going to see this for Alexander Skarsgård, you get everything you deserve. if you're going to see this for Godzilla versus Kong, the good news is you can get the large soda because there's plenty of opportunities for bathroom breaks. There's a long gap between fight number one and fight number three, four, and five. But there is a lot of good action. It really is a beautiful visual film. A lot of the cinematography is very nice, stunning, popping visuals, which I think has been true of the entire series, I got to say. And the effects are awesome. I saw this last night in 3D in a movie theater, and I would say, and I've said many times, I'm not a huge fan of 3D in theaters because I usually stop noticing it after a bit, but I really worked well for me in this film. And so I would recommend, if you have a chance, that's how I would go see it. I understand it's free on HBO Max, and if you don't want to go venture out into the COVID world, that's fine. But there's a movie to get you to go see in big theaters, it would be this one.
All right.
Or so maybe Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's coming out shortly, too. A lot of people are excited about that one. All right. So a couple of things here. This film, once again, was directed by Adam Wingard, who usually works with Simon Barrett, which is interesting because now Simon Barrett is actually debuting a film in May called Science, which he directs and writes. So maybe he's going the route of Lee Wanall, where he's now going to become a director. But either way, Adam Wingard has done this one, and it stars Skarsgård, Alexander Skarsgård, among other folks. You can catch it at theaters, as Mike mentioned. You've seen it a couple times, including in 3D, IMAX, all that good stuff, even during this COVID era. But it is readily available on HBO Max if you subscribe to that, at least for the time being. So I guess with all that stated, Eric, why don't you do this?
All right. Thanks for tuning in tonight to listen to us talk about Godzilla versus Kong. And if you walk away with nothing else, the very most important thing you should have learned tonight is that Phil is a dork. So come back next week. We'll have another topic.
Reject humanity. Return to monkey.